Football Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Fumbled again at the 45-yard line. Picked up by Anderson. Taylor at the 20, 15, 10. Eat some turf. Touchdown.
Here comes Robbie.
Now, here's Brady Hall.
Welcome in to Football Friday, a special Football Friday, as we're live from Canvas Stadium as a part of our coverage presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza for the Canvas Community Classic going on today. We got two big games for you here inside Canvas Stadium, high school games, Pooter and Rocky Mountain, Fort Collins and Fossil Ridge. I absolutely love this. I think this is something we need to do every single year. I got the guys calling the game right next to me, too. Clark Johnson, Mike Danson, hanging out. I just think that these are the kind of games, these are the kind of events that grow football in the state of Colorado. I mean, you get high school fans come here to watch their teams. You get your Pooter fans, Rocky Mountain fans. But maybe they hadn't been in before. And they go, you know what? This would be a fun place to watch a college game. If they, you know, if 3,000 people are here tonight, what's it like with, you know, 5,000 people here on the CSU game night? No, probably more than that. But the way things are going, you know, see. But I've been here. Listen, when they opened this stadium up, the first game ever inside Canvas Stadium was against the Oregon State Beavers. And I was here, and it was full. It was, I don't know if it was 100% full, but you could barely see any open seats. And the Rams win that game. They won that game, and it was like, wow, this is what this is all about. And you saw the fan base start to talk about it. This is an, you know, people were tailgating out there. I'm walking around just to talk to people, and it was, you could feel it. The atmosphere was fantastic. And if you can, you know, pair this wonderful stadium with success from Colorado State, man, you could do something cool. But my point is you come here for a game. You know, maybe Grandpa hasn't been to a CSU game since Canvas Stadium was moved out of Sherwood Forest and Hughes Stadium. You know, you come here and you go, wow, this is a fun place to be. I would like to watch a college football game here. And then you come back the next weekend. So I absolutely love it. It's beautiful. I hope we can get our crew out here every single year. I think even a couple of times a year, man, have a trophy for this thing. And then I think, you know, we were talking about Greeley. I think Greeley, once they get lights and everything, let's do some Friday night stuff there as well. But it doesn't get much better than this, man. Friday night lights, Friday night football. Kyle Johnson will be in at 3 o'clock to hit up football night in northern Colorado as he'll set the table for all of our high school stuff coming up, as well as a busy weekend in college football, a busy weekend in the NFL. When is it not busy anymore? But I just think this is a pivotal weekend for a lot of these teams, for every team we talk about. Even CSU, who's not playing this weekend, can they lick their wounds this weekend? Can they get everything right? Can they get healthier? Can they figure out what to do with all these guys transferring out and substituting? I mean, those are going to be big things, too, for Colorado State, as they their next game will be against Nevada. And that whole thing was, Angel, just going back, you know, we hit it 2 days ago. But as we've had a couple of days go on here, the more I think about Nevada's head coach, what's his name? Ken Wilson? Is it Wilson? The more I think about that, like, I heard that he was telling people not to go to the bowl games and stuff, and then he was telling people to go to the NFL. I heard that? Like, that, I just, that's weird for a head coach to say, especially at the college level. But it is what it is. I mean, if you're a Nevada fan, you probably really hate the idea of, you know, Jay Norvell, CSU, all that stuff. So he's just trying to feed that fire with that fan base that, you know, wants another reason to come to the game. I mean, Jay Norvell might be helping Nevada sell tickets. He's still helping that program out. But, yeah, the Rams got a lot of work to do, and my expectations have certainly changed. I am 100% in rebuild mode for CSU and thinking, okay, this is going to be just hopefully a gradual progress process where you're just getting better, you're seeing some nuggets throughout the week, and then, you know, next year as you get this full season under your belt, look out. Maybe you do start to, you know, get this offensive line thing figured it out. But we'll see. I mean, still a very long season. We always think we have it figured out 4 weeks in, 5 weeks in, whatever. But, hell, look at the NFL. We've had 3 weeks go by, and we thought the Colts are one of the worst teams in the NFL. The Chiefs are going to roll over everybody. Oh, the Colts beat the Chiefs. Oh, the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo's actually, this is going to be better for San Francisco. The Trey Lance thing, I don't know if that's going to work. Jimmy Garoppolo will lead this. Oh, they lose to the Broncos that can't figure out timeouts and stuff. So everything seems to change every single week, so you just have to give it some time there. But it is Broncos Raiders week. No doubt a big one. You know, it's must win for Las Vegas. You're looking at this situation, and if you go 0-4, we all know the stats and what Angel gave us about the Chargers. What, 91 was the last time an 0-4 team made the playoffs. Is that right, Angel? Am I saying that right?
I believe it was 94 or 95. Chargers team started 0-4 and made the they won the AFC West and made the playoffs.
Who was the quarterback of the Chargers that year? Was that? 94. Yeah, 94. I got Clark next to me, big Chargers guy. I don't remember who that was. Chargers quarterback, 94. I will give somebody a piece of tape if they can text that in. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. No, it wasn't Breeze. But Stan Humphries. Oh, there we go.
It was 1992 quarterback Stan Humphries.
There we go. Angel got it, too. Everybody gets it. You guys all get a roll of tape, man. This is going to be a heck of a day. It's exciting here at Canvas. We only bring out the best prizes. You're looking at this situation with the Raiders where it's such a tough division. And I know last weekend was the opposite of that, save for the Broncos winning. But I think all four of these teams are going to figure it out. Now, does that mean all four of these teams are going to be in the playoff discussion in the final week of the season? Maybe not. In fact, I think I could easily see the Raiders. I could see maybe the Raiders lose this weekend. I don't know. Picks are coming up. And then they're at Kansas City. So it might not get better before it gets worse. It might get worse before it gets better, so to speak. But then you could see them go, okay, we beat the Texans, we beat the Saints, we beat the Jags, we beat the Colts, and maybe we can get to a point where we win 7 games this season. And that would put us, you know, at least positive as we start this new era with Josh McDaniels. And as for the Chargers, I said at the beginning of the season, the best roster in the West. And do they have the best coach in the West, though? Do they have the worst coach in the West? I mean, Staley's like, I don't know. I mean, they have an injury situation going on all the time. They're always hurt. Herbie Hancock should not have been in that game 2 weeks ago against the Chiefs. I mean, that he didn't look right, and it's meaningless. You had 2 minutes left in the game, and you're down 2 scores. You have no timeouts. So you drive. He can't even cross over the first down marker. He's hurting so bad. Yet I don't know how he threw that touchdown pass after that, just to get my Thursday night special. That's why the curse of the Thursday night special actually helped Herbie Hancock there. So it's frustrating. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. But the history is there between these two teams. You know, even though Hackett is new to the Broncos, Russell's new to the Broncos, Russell has a history with Chandler Jones. Hackett has a history with Davante Adams. The Broncos have a history with Josh McDaniels. And it goes on and on like that. It's like I was talking about in the 11 o'clock hour. I just hope this isn't the we got over the hump game for the Raiders. Davante Adams was great week one. He's kind of been silent since. Is this the week they get him back on track? Is, you know, Chandler Jones, who has yet to have a sack for the Raiders, is this the game that he gets it going? He sacked Russell Wilson in his career 16 and a half times. So you worry about all of those things clicking. And on the other end, it's the same thing with the Broncos. Is this the week that, okay, the coaching got better? Nathaniel Hackett got better last week. His play calling was better. His decision-making was better. But Russell wasn't very good. You know, I thought the Seattle game, Russell was pretty good. Nathaniel Hackett just had some head scratchers. Houston, they were both kind of pretty rough. found a way to win, though. So is this the game where Hackett and Russell Wilson really fully click here, and you start to see what Russell's been calling this thing all offseason, letting Russ cook? 15 minutes after the hour. We'll get to a short break. When we come back, UNC at Idaho and Wyoming in the Mountain West Conference. Like, this is a big opportunity for the Cowboys going up against a pretty salty team in the Spartans. But if they can find a way to win this game, man, they can run the table in the Mountain West Mountain, because it's at New Mexico, home against Utah State, at Hawaii, and at CSU. You find a way to beat San Jose State. Are we talking about the Cowboys being in the Mountain West Championship potentially against a Fresno State-type team? My goodness, we could be. And I know, again, I'm saying that in a weird spot. You guys bar the doors back there, because I've talked about Wyoming. I've talked about CU in here. We got to be careful, but we'll take a short break. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. It is a Football Friday live from beautiful Canvas Stadium as we are getting you set up for a fun day of football here as the Canvas Community Classic, our coverage again presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, it's Football Friday here on a beautiful day. I love these kind of days, man. It's not too hot, not too cold. Get some clouds coming in, maybe some rain tonight. Perfect for high school football. Dancing, throw on the headset, man. What do you do? Mike Danson's over here, color commentator for, I like to just throw that at people. I don't want them to prepare any takes or anything. Just make it as organic as we possibly can. Beautiful day here. You guys, set to go for it. You got two games tonight.
Yeah, I'm hoping my voice can hold up for two games. I don't know if I have this
in your warm up in here.
I'm going to need some hot tea or something to keep me going.
Well, normally during the CSU games, they'll get the coffee going out there. So maybe there will be some coffee in the media booth over there. But man, this is a cool spot. And of course, it's something that I think that we should be growing every single year in all these communities, too. If you have a college football team in your community, why not utilize it once in a while for your high school teams?
Yeah, I love it for the kids, for the coaches, even for us. This is fun to come to the college stadium and be able to have this view. It's amazing way up here looking down. I think it all starts with Chassa, 5 years ago, moving all the state championships to these neutral sites at colleges, and just making it special for the kids is the main deal.
I think that's the big thing, too. Let's help each other. It's great for the kids and the families because it's exciting. Like, you get to go, you're going to a different stadium, not just the visiting stadium. You're going to a college stadium to play. So it's cool for them. It's cool for the families to be a part of that. But it's also advertising, and maybe a small scale whatever, but it's still advertising for the colleges, saying, this is our stadium. These are our facilities. Here's some of the things you can enjoy. You know, it might not be a typical game night, but this would be the atmosphere if you think you want to start coming here more often.
Yeah, it's going to be something like this. And when you come to the college game, you can have a beer even then.
Yes, absolutely, man. And that's the idea, is you want to grow this brand. And that's where they all kind of work together. When you look at these matchups tonight, Pooter and Rocky Mountain, and then Fort Collins and Fossil Ridge, I mean, are we in for some good games here? Is it going to be wild?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the first game. I haven't seen either of these teams. We've seen Fossil Ridge. We've seen Fort Collins on the season. So I know Rocky lost their quarterback early in the season to injury. I think Pooter's defense in the past few weeks has really stepped up their game. So that's not a good combo for Rocky Mountain, honestly, a hot defense and a freshman quarterback playing tonight. So we'll see how that one goes. And then last week, once again, another Fort Collins starting quarterback goes down. So we have three backup quarterbacks starting for teams tonight.
Wow.
Out of the four teams. So that's one of the things that we're kind of missing out on. But still, just the atmosphere, you know, when I was officiating basketball, I got to do a couple of like a Pooter and Rocky Mountain game one year, and the place is just packed. So I know these fans love these teams, and they'll all show up, and it's just going to be a fun atmosphere.
4:30 is our first game here, so I keep looking. I think Clark mentioned they're not going to start letting people in until like 3 o'clock or so, but I just want to start seeing people trickle in and get going here. But I did see, like, we're setting up. We're getting the dining area set up out there, too. So different people were bringing in, looked like band uniforms and stuff. So, I mean, it's hopefully it's just one of those nights, man, that just makes for a fun environment. People get excited, and it's something you can build throughout the course of the season. You're doing pretty good in your picks. I always hear them on Good Morning NoCo.
Yeah, I haven't missed one yet for the high school game, so going pretty good. I wish I could pick NFL and
wouldn't that be
college
something?
Games just as well. I would probably be making some money instead of losing it. But, yeah, so far so good on the high school picks.
Well, and locally here, of course, in the college side of it. I'm telling you, man, I've been talking about Wyoming a little bit. And, again, I know we got to be careful. I'm glad Clark shut the door on the way out, but Wyoming beats San Jose State. Suddenly, you have an opportunity for get the Cowboys. I mean, we could be talking about the Cowboys in the Mountain West Conference Championship. Seriously.
That's awesome.
I mean,
you know, I love it. You know, obviously, it's Wyoming. It's not a Colorado team.
Yep,
but at this point, our Colorado college football is kind of weak. So if Wyoming can and bring some excitement around this area, that'd be awesome.
Well, and listen, I used to, you know, Cody Tucker, a new guest for me. I didn't start getting deeper into Wyoming coverage until last basketball season. I started getting more hyped around Jeff Linder and what he was doing, so I followed him from UNC. And then I thought, man, we have listeners. We have some people that are interested. So I called my guy, Cody. I said, hey, let's do a weekly segment with you. I'll start diving into Wyoming. And, dude, I'm glad I pulled that cord when I did, because having them to talk about has been a saving grace for me, because it's Air Force and Wyoming. Those two teams I didn't focus on for the past 5 years. Thankfully, they're here for me, because it's been a rough go over CSU and CU.
Yeah, CSU, a new coach, it's kind of what you almost expect, honestly. A young quarterback.
Yeah.
And an offense that's going to throw the ball like they want to with a young quarterback, just not a really good combo. So hopefully in a couple years that'll all pay off. And then CU with their quarterback carousel that they have going on, who knows what's going to come of that.
Yeah, and again, you know, McCown, is he going to be the guy? Is that going to be the answer? Maybe the guy that can save Carl Durrell's job? I don't know. That's the thing. When you look at these college teams that we're talking about, you know, the pressure on each program. Well, any pressure that was on Ed McCaffrey, I think, when you look at UNC, well, you're 2-2. I think a lot of that drama and all that stuff from the offseason, it kind of fades away when you're sitting at 2-2. For CSU, there's disappointed fans, I get it, but it's the start of this for Air Raid. This is a brand new setup. You should be still in the honeymoon phase with CSU. For CU, there's no excuses. I mean, he's been there a while now, and they're getting worse.
Yeah, the thing about CU that I think about is just how they got left by Mel Tucker. He just kind of left them hanging out there right before the season started. They didn't really have time to plan for what they were trying to do. And now they're kind of in this situation where they're kind of in a limbo at this point. Like, do you move on or?
And I tell you what, I go back and forth on that, because the obvious answer is yes, he's just getting worse. It's the recruiting situation. Is he convincing players to come here? Is he just not getting the right caliber of player? But you also want to be careful. You don't want to just keep getting in this cycle of paying coaches to not coach for you. And, I mean, CSU, they're in that point where it's Adazio, Bobo, all that. CU, if you get rid of Carl Durrell, I mean, it wasn't that long ago you had the Mel Tucker situation and the McIntyre situation. You just wonder sometimes if there's a school that really can say, we're going to give you a 5-year plan. No matter what happens, as long as you don't do anything illegal, we're going to give you 5 years to really build this thing in your image to recruit. But there's zero pressure. 5 years. And you just wonder if that might work. But it's 2 years, man. I mean, it's 2 years. If you don't show any kind of promise, you got 2 years.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the business, man. That's what they sign up for. It's tough. And the one thing about, you know, like you talked about getting rid of these coaches over and over and over again, that makes it hard to go out and hire, you know, that big name guy that you want, because you don't have the money to pay him.
Right.
And if you do get them hired and they have a couple of successful seasons, you can't pay him enough like Mel Tucker, and he's going to go find a job where he can make some money.
Well, that's the thing. If you get that guy, and then you put a big buyout there, and if he's that great, he leaves, and you know, you get money back, so it gives you more money to go hire a bigger guy, and that's the idea. That was the plan with Mike Bobo, too. I mean, that was what the Rams wanted to do, was when he was 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, they thought, man, this guy's going to be pretty good. We want to get him a contract before he gets any better, and then, you know, we don't have a strong buyout or he leaves or whatever. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out, and that's how it goes sometimes. Bobo, of course, had some health issues at that point, but you know, it's with CU, I'm torn on it, man, because you get to know these coaches too, and you try to take that hat off as much as possible. But on paper, it just seems like Carl Durrell should work. He was the Pac-12 Coach of the Year, but it was COVID year, and they had a weaker part of their schedule. But you just wonder, you were able to put together some games there. You were able to put together some game plans that worked. This has been terrible. This has been unlike anything Buffs fans have ever seen.
Yeah, and what amazes me is that Boulder and CU, that campus is beautiful. The stadium is amazing. The atmosphere is just great. Like, I cannot believe they cannot get kids recruited to that place. It is just such a great place to be. But they just aren't able to get the kids in there for some reason.
You lose guys, and, you know, like Jarek Broussard, the stud running back for CU, follows Mel Tucker to Michigan State. And, you know, you also get those instances, too, where you hire duds that either are so good but they don't care about you, and then they take all your guys away. Or, you know, like what CSU dealt with Adazio last year. It just didn't work out, and, in fact, it was so bad that you walk away and this whole thing is in shambles for a little bit, and it's going to take some cleaning up. So, but you're right. I mean, the recruiting process here, Fort Collins, Boulder, either one, absolutely beautiful. The campuses are wonderful. And you just wonder if that's something that's going to take hold. Mike Danson, man, I'm looking forward to tonight. Some great games, doubleheader action. As soon as we saw this thing was going to be on the schedule, we were like, man, we got to make this work. An opportunity for our Preps fans. You guys do such a great job with our Preps football coverage. I mean, there's radio stations throughout the state of Colorado that are broadcasting college, broadcasting high school games. I don't think there's a broadcast in the state that does it as good as you guys do.
I appreciate that. This is fun for me. I coached for a long time, but just the amount of time that I had to spend in that, it didn't work with the family life. So for me to be able to stay involved with high school sports, high school football, it's just a great opportunity for me, and I appreciate that.
So. Yeah, well, we love it, man. We're looking forward to this one again. Football night in Northern Colorado with Kyle Johnson starts up at 3 o'clock. He'll gear you up. He'll get you going for this, and then we have our first game at 4:30 between Pooter and Rocky Mountain, 1:32 the time. When we come back, let's take a look at a couple of keys for the Broncos offensively and defensively as they get set to take on Josh McDaniels and his Las Vegas Raiders. 32 minutes after 1 o'clock, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Y'all ready for this?
Man, it's going to be a rocking place here. We got the windows open. I'm sitting in the booth that all these guys are going to be broadcast. I feel like a celebrity here. Clark Johnson, Mike Danson will be calling this game. Got the windows open. We got Kyle Johnson coming in here for 3 o'clock for football night in Northern Colorado. So we're getting you set for a wonderful weekend of football that starts right here on a Friday night here with this doubleheader that we'll have on for you. 103.1, 1310, and also 1310 KFKA. You can listen to 1310KFKA.com. Even if you're out here, bring the headset or just crank it up. Put those Bluetooth speakers up, and then eight of you guys can listen. This is going to be fantastic, so I'm looking forward to it. Should be a huge turnout for this game tonight. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Do want to thank Crazy Carl's Pizza for making our coverage possible. As we've been building up to this big Friday night, we're getting the end zone marker. The pylons are going out there, man. We're getting it set. It's fantastic. I did hear too. I was telling Clark this to start the show. This is what I've been told that Sonny Lubick is going to have the opening coin flip of the night. So that should be kind of cool to get him out here. It is his field after all. If he wants to flip coins, I think they got to let the man. He can do whatever he wants. But beautiful here. Canvas Stadium, Sonny Lubick Field at Canvas Stadium. Broncos, Raiders coming up this weekend, a monster game for both teams. A must-win for the Raiders, a need-to-win for the Broncos. And again, yes, Broncos country, it's a must-win. You want to find a way to beat the Raiders. It's Josh McDaniels. You're 2-1, but I mean, ask 80% of Broncos country. Doesn't feel like you're 2-1. There's just a lot of things that are riding on this game in this AFC West. And we talked about how you got to stay ahead early. This is the portion of the schedule for the Broncos that we said right off the bat, you got to come out on the positive end, a few games over 500 before you get to that bye week. And they're two. Listen, I had them at 2-1 at this point. It's just a little different. I actually had the 49ers beating Denver than the Broncos beating Seattle. So either way you get there, you're 2-1. But I'll admit, you know, I've talked about a lot of the positives this week. I'm certainly at a point where I'm a little skittish. I'm a little skittish about my 10 or 11 win prediction total for Denver. However, you go beat the Raiders and you're 3-1, and you got the Colts on Thursday night, and I don't know if we feel any better about the Colts. Maybe that was a fluke performance between the Colts and the Chiefs, but suddenly things look really good, but that starts on Sunday. So here's what I would like to see. Obviously, it starts with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, 184 yards. He wasn't good in this game until that final drive, that final possession, and then he looked like vintage Russell Wilson, the one that we saw with the Seattle Seahawks for so much time. So I think you got to find a way not to completely change your game plan and say, hey, Russ, you take off before the play even begins to develop. No, but you want him to be aggressive and really just have that sixth sense of when he has a feeling maybe a route's not going to go the way he wants, a block's not going to happen the way he wants. He's got to make a quicker decision, whether that's to run out, get a quick five and slide and get down, or if it's to, you know, roll to your left, buy some time for a receiver to come back to you. Got to see more of that. And I think Broncos country would dial down the making fun of the corniness and all that if you could get to that point. So want to see Russell Wilson take that step. On the rushing attack, I've said it all season, Javonte Williams should be the MVP of this team. Russell's great. You're paying him the money. Get it. But I think Javonte's everything you're going to do that's going to set up Russell Wilson has to be through Javonte Williams. And 15 carries against the Niners for 58 yards. I mean, he averaged 4 yards per carry. I got to see that 20 times. And Gordon had less carries, but they're still giving Gordon the carries in the situational side of it, the situation plays they call for, whether that's on the goal line. He scored. I get it. I'm still, even though Melvin Gordon scored, there's no reason why Javonte Williams, who is a human wrecking ball, should not get the ball in that situation. And we've seen it for several weeks now. To start the half, you get to first, you know, third and inches, and Gordon's getting the ball in some of these crucial situations. So I'm not sure where the trust factor is really coming in with Nathaniel Hackett, but it's there over Javonte at this stage. And listen, I know Javonte fumbled it a few times last year. He was a rookie. And I know he fumbled it at the goal line in that Seattle game, just like Melvin Gordon did. But still, I'm taking my chances with this guy who falls forward almost every single time. On the receiving side of the ball, who's going to step up for tight end? Jerry Jeudy, I'm kind of done getting excited about this guy. And, you know, Cortland Sutton, I know, is going to be good. He's going to do, you know, I don't know if Cortland Sutton's ever going to be an elite wide receiver, but I think he's going to do just enough to put together some nice games. He's not going to be a sure touchdown when you get inside the red zone or anything like that. But I got to see a tight end for this team. You know, we talked about how in Seattle, you know, statistically, if you just go look at it, Russ didn't use tight ends very much until, like, Jimmy Graham was there. He wasn't a big tight end guy. We thought that might change with this new style, that maybe Russ wanted to utilize the tight end more. That has not been the case. Albert Okwuegbunam has not been good. His blocking ability is not there. And so when you can't block, you're not going to get your opportunities to come in. Eric Saubert had the touchdown 2 weeks ago, but he did nothing receiving-wise. And then Greg Dulcich, we still, you know, we don't really have a timeline there as far as when we're expected to see this rookie get out on the field. So a lot of things where I'm looking at this offense saying, can the guys that we talked about in the offseason actually get to the point where they're living up to those expectations? Now, Quinn Meinerz is going to play. It sounds like Quinn Meinerz is going to play, which is absolutely huge for the Broncos because that right side of the offensive line has been tough. I mean, when the you saw what the Broncos did on the goal line. They ran it twice to the left, and they ended up getting in the second time with Gordon on the left side. They like the left side, even though Garrett Bowles has struggled in pass protection. His run blocking has been exceptional. Dalton Reisner's run blocking has been exceptional. So if you can get Quinn Meinerz on that right side, you're going to start being able to get more plays on that right side, which will throw defenses off a little bit more. The more options you have, the better opportunity you're going to have to allow Russell Wilson to cook out there, so to speak. On the defensive side of the ball, yeah, I got nothing for you. This defense has been fantastic. I'm trying to think of my MVP for the defense through 3 weeks. And obviously, Randy Gregory has been really good. I want to see some more actual sacks from him. He has two on the year. But, you know, I want to see more game-changing moments from him. And maybe we'll see some of that. Patrick Surtain is not going to – he's not getting a lot of picks and everything, but that's just because he's sticky man. He's all over these wide receivers. And, you know, he's either going to knock the ball down or he's going to dislocate man from ball. And I've seen that several times with Pat Surtain. He might not be a corner that gets a lot of interceptions just because of the way he plays. He plays so physical, so close to wide receivers. There's not a lot of separation for him to break off. It's going to be a bang-bang play. But it's probably been Patrick Surtain, but a guy that's storming into that, a guy that they sorely missed against Seattle, was Josie Jewell. Josie had a sack. He had nine tackles. He had two tackles for losses. He hit the quarterback two other times. I was so damn impressed with his ability last week against the Niners. I mean, I thought he was a game changer. You know, Randy Gregory, Bradley Chubb, those guys come up with the big plays that kind of sealed the games, but throughout the game, Josie Jewell was consistent, and I really like to see that. So that's kind of what I'm looking at on the defensive side is the stars that are shining for you, Randy Gregory, Patrick Surtain, Josie Jewell, and maybe you can throw Bradley Chubb into that mix. He's been solid as well. Can those guys that are shining for you right now continue to make big plays and keep your offense in it as we are in the very early process of Nathaniel Hackett's new offense, new style. Russell Wilson, as much as you guys just think it's easy to just transition from one team to the next, I don't think it's as easy as Peyton Manning made it look. I think a lot of teams have a hard time doing that, or a lot of players have a hard time doing that. And Russell Wilson's trying to figure it out. He's got a brand new head coach. It's not like he came to Denver and you had an Andy Reid here waiting for you. You came to Denver and it was a first-time head coach. So while this offense figures it out, hopefully it doesn't take a full half against the Raiders, this defense, I think, has to continue to be key going forward. All right, 47 minutes after the hour. We got picks coming up next. I went 5-1 last week. Good. Absolutely had to have it because we're just trying to get back to 500. Trying to get back over, so I'm not doggy paddling my way here through this thing. We're going to have a big week. No CSU this week, so my heart won't be playing tricks on me. So we're just going to be focused on that. Angel, you ready to rock and roll?
Always, Brady.
All right, and 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Don't forget, we got football night in Northern Colorado with Kyle Johnson coming up at 3 o'clock today. He will set the stage for a big night of high school football and an even bigger weekend. We'll be right back. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
It's time to make our picks. Here, Brady Hull.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. All right, last week, Angel. So I went into the weekend with my local picks. Everybody knows I pick Wyoming, I pick CSU, I pick CU, I pick Air Force, I pick UNC, and I pick the Broncos. I came into the weekend at 5-10. It was a rough, rough start for me, okay? But as I'm settling in here, we're starting to get a feel for what these teams are about. I went 5-1 last week, so the record stands at 10-11. One game under 500. We're not happy about that, but we're at least, you know, we're pulling ourselves out of the hole that we dug. So let's see if we can continue to do that. UNC is at Idaho this weekend. This is a tough one. I want the story and the narrative to be UNC gets it. They get two in a row, or three, would it be three in a row? And, man, McCaffrey's got it right. I still think this season's going to turn out to be a positive one for UNC sitting at 2-2. That Idaho battle against Washington State has me scared, though. I think the Bears will lose this game to Idaho. I wouldn't be shocked, Angel, if it's a couple of scores. But I'm just going to say Bears lose. Air Force, Navy. Air Force favored by 14 points in this one. You could go one of two ways here. Air Force could be a little sloppy because they're sad about the sanctions and all that stuff. But I think they're going to be pissed. I think they're going to come out, and I think they're going to run through Navy. They're going to cover the 14-point spread. They are 14-point favorites, by the way. Wyoming, San Jose State. So the Cowboys are dogs in this one. But I'm starting to believe in old Craig Bull over there, man. And Titus Swen, that running back. Andrew Peasley, this quarterback that is man enough to show some emotion and some tears. I'm going to take Wyoming to get the win. And then suddenly you're talking about this team maybe getting to a Mountain West championship. See you at Arizona. The Buffs are 17.5-point favorites. Angel, what do we do when Brady's thinking about picking the Buffs?
Don't do it.
Okay, we're not going there then. CU won't cover 17.5. The Broncos and the Raiders. Broncos are dogs. 2.5-point dogs, I think. Yeah, give me the Broncos. I like the Broncos. I picked them early. I'm staying with the blueprint, Angel. The blueprint shows that the Broncos beat the Raiders this weekend. We'll see. Big weekend coming up, man. But it starts here at Canvas Stadium with the Canvas Community Classic presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We got Football Night in Northern Colorado coming up at 3 o'clock. And then we've got our first game of the night. Clark Johnson, Mike Danson will bring it to you with Pooter and Rocky Mountain at 4:30. No reason to leave it here, man. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.